All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
That was a hearty, whoa. Are you like going for that? Who's the guy, the boxer announcer? Let's get ready to rumble.
Well, I have to start a career somewhere, Penn. And so if I can get in on the boxing scene, then we're probably in good measure.
Oh my God, you would be great at that.
Right? I'd just be like bouncing in and out. They'd be all about it.
It bring your passion for sports to the ring. I mean, it'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So how you doing? We're in episode 80. Can you believe that?
80. David, before we get into the show.
Oh, boy.
I got a story to tell you. It's a good one.
Oh.
So when you ask me, and it comes up every now and then, I'm out and about doing my thing, and it comes up, and somebody says to me, what are the strangest things that have ever happened at the theater, right?
Yeah.
And I can immediately think of like the top two or three, top four, top five strange things that happened at the theater. Something happened the other night that is now on the almost, I think it's the second strangest thing that ever happened at Penn Cinema.
Oh, please do tell.
You want to hear the story?
Oh, let me hold on.
All right.
I'm sitting.
Crash. All right. So I'm working the drive-in. It's a double feature.
Whoa.
So the first show is Christmas Vacation. Second show is Christmas Story. I think this was like this past weekend. And everything's running smoothly. We're about halfway through Christmas Vacation, maybe a little bit further. And about two-thirds of the way through, getting towards the end of Christmas Vacation, I come walking out of the vestibule, and there's this strange guy, kind of odd looking,
oh,
right? Got like a headlamp, you know, on his head or something. Just strange looking. Looked like he was Amish,
okay,
right?
Okay.
But there's no cars because all the customers are in the drive-in. And so there's no cars in the parking lot. It's just this strange guy. So he comes walking up to me, and he says, what are you playing? And I'm like, well, we're not playing anything except over here we're playing Christmas Vacation. And then he just stares at me. Like the guy was like super weird and just stares at me. And then he looks at me again and he goes, Chris who? And I'm like, no. I'm like, no, Christmas Vacation. And he's like, all right. And he just stares at me. And I start talking to him. I forget what I'm explaining to him that it's at the drive-in. But the guy is clearly not, like, receiving the words that are coming out of my mouth. And so he starts wandering towards the drive-in. And I start thinking to myself, okay, we got a drunk guy. We got some kind of drunk Amishman, you know,
yeah,
showed up at the lot. And this is kind of weird, you know, but whatever. So he kind of wanders over to the drive-in, and I'm walking behind him, and now I go from happy-go-lucky, customer service-oriented, like, you know, make you happy. Now I've switched over to, like, authority role.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, I'm starting to think about security, and this is my building, and, you know, the whole sort of Mr. Manager type of role, you know, because clearly this guy's not all together there. So I go walking behind him, and I'm trying to get his attention, and he completely ignoring me. And he's like, I'm telling him, you know, you can't just go walking back there. You know, you can't beat there. So he goes walking along the driveway towards the drive-in. And you know how we have those little traffic sort of medians in between the lanes?
Yeah.
He lays down in one of those medians, like with his head on his fist, like he's going to lay there and watch this movie that he can't hear. Because he's got no... So I'm like, this is crazy. So I'm like, excuse me. Now I'm like halfway raising my voice. I'm like, you cannot be here. He's completely ignoring me. So I get out my phone and I fake call the police. This is something I've done before. I know exactly how to, like, you know, I know that the police always ask you, like, what's your address? Who are you? What's your phone number? You know, all right. Before you sort of get in the meat of the call. And so I have this fake phone call to the police. The guy is totally ignoring, like, totally unimpressed that I'm now on the phone calling the police to get him to leave. He's completely oblivious to this happening. So then, I go through this whole pretend phone call and hang up and tell the guy police are on their way. He stands up and starts walking as if he's going to walk into the drive-in. Like, up until this point, he was now sort of along the side of it, like just sort of watching the whole thing go down.
Yeah.
He starts acting like he's going to walk into the drive-in. So now I'm like, holy cow, I better get the cops here. So now I use my phone and I really do call the police and I really do go through the whole thing. Like, hey, you got to come get this guy, you know?
Yeah.
And while I'm talking to the police on the real phone call, the guy turns around and he looks at me and goes, is that phone call about me? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, it absolutely 100. Yes. Yes. You cannot be here. And he's like, why can't I be here? So I'm on the phone with the cop. I go, hang on one sec. And I say to the guy, these people all paid $30 and bought a ticket, you know, and they're watching the movie. He goes, I'll give you $30. I'm like, I don't want your $30. I want you to get the hell out of here. So while we're having this conversation, he starts walking away. And so I say to the cop on the phone, you know, I think he's leaving. This is weird, but, you know, I don't think actually that you need to come out and deal with this. I think he's leaving. And the cops are like, all right, well, you know, if you need anything, if he turns around, you know, like, whatever, we'll come back. So I'm in the front of the building and I watch this guy walk down towards Mix. And he walks all the way past Mix until I can't see him anymore. So then I get it in my head, hey, this guy's just trying to walk around the building. You know what I mean? He's just trying to outsmart me. He's going to walk past Mix, turn around the backside of the building, and try to walk into the drive-in from the other side. So I outsmart him, and I go cutting through the building to the back of the driveway. So I'm back there, and I don't see anything. I'm looking all over. I don't see this guy anywhere. I go walking down to Mix. I don't see him anywhere. I see nothing going on. I start walking back towards the side of the building where the drive-in's happening, and I hear this incredible crash and commotion. And I'm like, what in the world is this? And I hear like the chug of like a heavy vehicle or something. But then I realize, oh, it's that scene in Christmas Vacation where Cousin Eddie's showing up with the RV and the SWAT team crashes in. So in my mind, I'm like, this is just the movie. Because I hear movie sounds all the time. I hear people screaming. I hear aliens. I hear, you know, horses, like whatever. You hear weird things when you work in the theater. So I didn't really think anything of it. I kept walking around to the drive-in. I get to the drive-in, and everybody's just in their car watching the movie. So I go walking up and down the aisles, you know, looking for this guy, just sort of doing a security check like we typically do. We try to, you know, without being in the way of people, we try to be present and, you know, keep an eye on everything while they're watching the movie.
Right.
So everything checks out. And in the drive-in, we have three rows of cars, each with a barricade at the end of the row. And we keep the barricades up at the beginning of the movie so that people know to drive around the back of the building and pull in. The barricades all say exit only. Then at some point during the movie, it's our job to move the barricades out of the way so that when the movie's over, everybody can leave. So it'll make sense in a minute why I tell you this detail. So I move the barricades out of the way, and I go to our sort of standard spot where we sit and, you know, keep an eye on everything while the movie's running. All of a sudden, these two kids come out of the lobby, out of the building, and they're like, Penn. I'm like, yeah, what's up? And they're like, this lady just came in and told us that some guy drove a dump truck into the drive-in and dumped a load of dirt and wood and trash into the parking lot and then drove off.
What?
What the hell are you talking about? Well, upon further discussion, it wasn't a dump truck, but it was one of those, like, I think they're called skid loaders or front end loaders or something. It had one of those little things that you see at construction sites with the big bucket on the front of it.
Okay.
And this Amishman, when he disappeared into the dark, he was not circling around the building. He was going to go get his skid loader or whatever you call that thing. And then he drove back to the drive-in, up over the curb, what? Across my lawn, through the bushes, into the drive-in parking lot. He shows me, dumps his whole, you know, load of trash.
What? And,
right, right. He dumps the whole, like a mound, a massive pile of debris, dirt, you know, the whole nine yards. Turns around. Now, the irony, the incredible coincidence is, I didn't see any of it. Because I was in the back. I thought I was chasing him, you know, in the back of the building. So I didn't see any of this. But so I come back. By the time, as I mentioned earlier, the barricades were in place. So, you know, I had no reason to think anybody had driven into the drive-in. And then I come back. Everything's quiet. So if I'd stayed on the front side, I could have, you know, really had a showdown with the guy.
Yeah.
So he drives in this. All right. So this is weird, right? This is a strange story. But so far, it's just like a little bit strange. It's like kind of strange.
Oh my gosh.
So I think to myself, I'm gonna clean this trash up in the morning when it's light out so I can get some clues who this guy is.
Right.
You know, take some pictures, press some charges, all this kind of stuff. In between the movies, this woman comes up to me and says, "You shouldn't dump trash in here during the movie." And I'm like, wait, you think that was me? First of all, you think that was me? Second of all, you think I did that during the movie? Third of all, why would I put all that dirt in my parking lot? It made no sense whatsoever. So I was like, listen, that wasn't me. That was some drunk guy. All right. So the rest of the night proceeds uneventful. I clean everything up, or, you know, the normal shutdown process, and I go home thinking to myself, tomorrow morning I got to go deal with this mound of dirt, you know, that's in my parking lot.
Right.
So I'm getting ready for work, and the phone rings, and it's the Manheim Township Police.
What?
The officer says, "Penn, I got a story. This is a weird call, but I got to tell you something." I'm like, "You think you got a weird story?" Well, sure enough, we're talking about the same guy.
Okay.
And the cop says to me, "We got a phone call this morning from a guy who said he dumped a load of trash in your parking lot and he doesn't remember why, but he feels bad and he wants to clean it up." So his family, like, sent him to see a doctor or something, and the cop said the family won't let him come back because they think there's something wrong with him. So the family's going to come back and clean up the trash. And sure enough, I came into work at 3 p.m. for the, you know, evening shift, and there it is, all cleaned up, not a spot of dirt. I mean, there's a little, you know, dust or whatever where the pile was, but they cleaned it up. Every speck of dirt, every branch, everything was gone, like it never happened.
What?
Strangest thing. I think second or third strangest thing of all time at the theater.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
That is a story.
What?
That's crazy.
I couldn't believe it.
I love that he felt bad, so he wanted to come clean it up.
He calls the next. Why didn't he call me? He called the cops.
Why didn't he just come do it?
Oh my word. So that's a real head scratcher. That was my night. I think it was Saturday night, might have been Sunday night.
This reminds me of a story you told me about, I guess, something that's not, I don't want to say super common, but that happens enough that you're like aware of it as a thing. And it also involves the Amish and bags being left out because they change to plain clothes or to English clothes to come in.
Right.
That is a unique issue to have to deal with.
Yeah, we have often, especially on Friday nights, we call them the Friday Night Mennonite. And they come in their Amish clothes, or plain clothes, I guess you call it, and then they change into English clothes to come into the movie, and then they change back before they go home. But every now and then, they forget to change back. And we just see these random Amish clothes, you know, like a whole outfit laying in the back.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do? You clean it up or you let it go? Think they'll be back?
We do one of these.
The claw.
Very carefully, you know, like with put our gloves on and, you know, hazmat suit and everything and put it in a garbage bag and throw it in the trash.
Oh, man, what a way to start off the show. That was a great story.
I felt like I needed to share that with our friends.
You know what's almost as good of a story? The story of Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe.
Do you know, have we talked about this before? Did I tell you that G.I. Joe is on my short list of worst movies I've ever seen at Penn Cinema?
No, I did not know that.
I hated that movie. I couldn't bear it.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So how many times did you watch the second one? Zero.
Zero.
Well, the Snake Eyes solo movie has been pushed back to an unspecified date in 2021. Here's the thing. I didn't realize that was set for anything ever to be pushed back. I mean, I knew they were making it. I just didn't realize they were far enough along to push a date back.
I wonder if we're going to start getting titles. I wonder if they're going to start pushing their dates back just to get press.
I would imagine. I mean, yeah.
The only reason that we're talking about Snake Eyes is because they pushed it back. So did they really push it back, or has it been playing for 21 all along?
I think the thing to do when a movie comes out is for them to be like, oh, well, you see, this movie was meant to come out such and such a time, and that's going to be like the go-to,
right?
The go-to saying, well, it was supposed to come out, but yeah. So what's this here you have about A Fellowship of the Ring?
That's not me.
That's not you?
No.
You didn't write that in there?
Uh-uh.
I didn't write that in there. Ghost notes. <don't>... All right, so we have this note we don't know about.
It's pretty spooky, too, because the note is Grace and Truth Fellowship.
And that's all it says. Are you sure you didn't put that in there? I didn't put that in there.
The story that I put in there that I thought – I just wanted to touch on this really quickly just because I think it's an interesting – I think college students all over the country are dealing with a lot of difficult situations and options, you know, and they're trying to make some decisions about their careers. And the same is true for film students. And, you know, there was just this interesting story. I thought it was interesting on IndieWire that production students at University of Southern California, USC, which is widely regarded as the top cinema arts institution in the United States, that these film students have the choice to either take a semester off or pay their tuition, which is a hefty $60,000 a year. But here's the catch. They're going to be making home videos. Like, isn't that, like, strange? Like, the cynic in me is tempted to say, like, isn't this a ripoff?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, what's the alternative?
Right, right.
I mean, if you want to continue with your education and be done by a certain time, then I guess you work with what you got.
I wonder if these students that, like, if we'll see, like, an influx of a directorial style that comes out of the students that decide to stay on and do the at-home learning. If it makes a new type of filmmaking as a result, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, no, I think there's a really good chance that that happens. And I also think, and it may take years for this to shake out, but I also think it's beginning to expose the actual value of a college degree. Like, I know that just not necessarily film students, but a lot of students, all of a sudden, like, classroom learning is so important, but now, like, well, it's okay to take it online.
Right.
It's just interesting. Like, it just raises a lot of interesting questions. So I completely agree with you, and I'm excited to see what comes of that in terms of, you know, the Corona style, the Corona generation of directors.
Janelle Monáe and Lionsgate have a horror film called Antebellum coming out. We've talked about the trailers on here. It looks phenomenal. It's off the release schedule, as many things are. However, they are still holding out for a theatrical release, which I think is a great idea.
Lionsgate's a great studio, and I think that they are... we always say about Lionsgate, they don't necessarily make the best movies. And when I say that with love. Like, what I mean is, like, they're not artsy-fartsy, they're not uppity. I don't know their Oscar record, but that's not a priority for them.
Yeah.
So what we always say is they don't necessarily make the best movies, but they consistently make the movies that people want to see. You know, and their commitment, their relationship with the theatrical exhibition industry has always been stellar. And so I agree with you. I take this as a good sign. I would much prefer, if it was my movie, I would much prefer to just be off the release schedule than doing what everyone else has been doing, which is push it back a month, push it back a month, push it back a month.
Right. Yeah, just wait and reset yourself later. Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah. So appearing as a guest on Sirius XM Radio, Andy, I guess is the name of the show, Ron Howard confirmed there will be no sequel to the quote-unquote underground hit Solo, A Star Wars Story. I mean, I'm not surprised that there's not a sequel, but what really caught me was this, is that he called it a quote-unquote underground hit. How deep underground?
right. This story reminds me that Ron Howard was, what's his face, on Happy Days.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I know what you mean. I don't remember his
name, though. Yeah. And, like, the guy has been around Hollywood, which includes the television world, his entire life. And I don't... Here's where I land on this. Ron Howard has so much credibility in my book.
Yeah.
That if he wants to call it an underground hit, if that's what he has to say to make himself feel good about it, or, you know, or if that's what he wants to say, then by all means, I'm going to give it to him. Who am I to argue? Do I need to rewatch Solo? Maybe. I don't know. Do I need to give it a second chance?
No.
I think I liked it, though. I remember liking it.
I don't hate Solo like I do the other new Star Wars movies. The problem I have with Solo above...
Whoa. David. Did you say Star Wars movies, like, plural?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm just saying, like...
So now,
look,
you're...
I hate The Last Jedi, and I'm borderline on...
No, you hate The Force Awakens, and you're borderline on The Last Jedi.
What? No, The Force Awakens was the first one, right?
I think it was the middle one.
This brings up an interesting story that I'm going to look up.
What was the name of the last one? The Last Skywalker or The First Skywalker or something? Or?
Rise of Skywalker. No, the Force Awakens is 7. And then...
Last
Jedi is the one I hate. And then Rise of Skywalker, I just dislike. I don't hate. I just dislike it strongly.
I can't believe that.
They're not good. because of Rise of Skywalker. The Force Awakens was fine. Like, I enjoyed The Force Awakens. But I'm looking this up. They did this thing this week. It was kind of viral. And they renamed the Star Wars movies in a way that would make sense. Did you hear about this?
No. Tell me.
This comes from Jason, Goonies Jason. And let me find it here, and I'll read it off.
I'm giving him a new nickname. His new name is Encyclopedia Gladfelter.
Oh, did you get a message from him?
It's just too much. We're going to call him Encyclopedia Brown.
Encyclopedia Brown. He messaged me this week, and he's like, the movie you were thinking of.
EB.
Yeah, was this or that. And then I was like, oh, this is what I want to call you out on. He was like, I was like, oh, well, what was the movie Penn was thinking of last week with where Sandra Bullock was buried alive?
And he goes, it was Buried with Ryan Reynolds.
With Ryan Reynolds. And I was like, oh, clearly, easily swappable. Remember Pretty Women with Ryan Reynolds?
Right.
Okay. So this is renamed, not changing the order of the movies. So same order, 1 to 9, but renaming.
Okay.
We have The Phantom. Okay, so... Episode 1, The Rise of Skywalker. Episode 2, Revenge of the Sith. Episode 3, Attack of the Clones. That one stays the same. Episode 4, Return of the Jedi. Episode 5, The Force Awakens. Episode 6, The Last Jedi. Episode 7, The Empire Strikes Back. Episode 8, A New Hope. Episode 9, The Phantom Menace. Like, this legit... this legit works. And if you don't know that, if you don't agree, I don't know what to say. Do you disagree?
I don't have a problem. I don't disagree. My whole problem is, when did you get so fancy that you can't handle Star Wars? That you have something to say?
I don't know if you know this or not, but I have put out 80 episodes of an acclaimed movie review podcast. I think I know what I'm talking about.
the Penn Cinema podcast is an underground hit. All right, well, listen, sidebar, shout out to Encyclopedia Brown for coming up with that Ryan Reynolds. That guy is awesome. He's literally a wealth of knowledge on all things movies.
He really is.
if we could make a living doing the podcast, I picture Jason like off to the side shouting stuff at us.
Yeah,
like during the show.
All right. People have said we need someone like that, so it should be him. All right, so hit me with another thing of news here.
Well, I was just gonna say, I mean, I got some Dune news.
I'm sorry, I haven't heard of this before.
What, oh, what it's based on a gripping book.
Oh, the one that you've clearly read.
Denis Villeneuve.
I think that's right.
Villeneuve. Okay.
Villeneuve. Yep. Villeneuve, yeah.
Denis.
Villeneuve.
But he spells his name differently, though.
Oh, really?
He spells it like Denis.
Well, I think his name is Denny.
Oh, Denny.
Denny, yeah.
Not Dinas. Okay.
I like how you did so well on the last name. Butchered the first name.
Denis Villeneuve, Dune, is still on track for... Denny, the director of Dune, says that Dune is still on track for a December 18th release later this year from Warner Brothers. He said it in an interview at the Shanghai International Film Festival, which raises a few questions. First of all, the dude went to Shanghai? That's not smart.
Well, clearly he's living in the rest of the world that is doing better than us.
Are we supposed to be staying home? I mean, I'm like sitting in my room with my mask on under the covers. You know, I'm not leaving the house. Save my life.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not in America, so he's...
Stop it.
He's doing better.
Stop it. All right. The other issue I wanted to raise on this topic is I did not, I'm sure I knew it, but I forgot that Dune is a Warner Brothers title. Ooh. Now, as we have discussed last week, we're not going to discuss it more this week because I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Warner Brothers last week announced that Tenet was going to be released internationally and domestically, regardless of who can play it. So in other words, they're calling it a platform release, but what that really means is if we can't play it in New York or LA, we're kind of okay with that. And what that tells you is that the studio has sort of come to grips with the idea that we're not going to get a perfect release date. We're not going to get a good release date. So the fact that they have signaled that the global release of a title plus whoever else can get it, i.e. Lititz, Wilmington, or River, or Huntington Valley, the fact that they are willing to do that with their big titles, first of all, I think is great. It's good news for the exhibition industry because all these studios think alike. So if that mindset makes sense for Warner Brothers, then it's going to make sense for Comcast. It's going to make sense for Disney. It's going to make sense for Paramount. You know, all these things. Following that thought process, if that all holds up, depending on what Tenet does September 3rd, that tells me Dune actually is going to get released on December 18th. And I read the interview with Denny, and he went on to say that, you know, he's really – they wrapped production, everything finished before the quarantine, and there's a lot of challenges related to editing the film.
Yeah.
But he wasn't saying, like, we can't make December 18th. He was just saying there's a lot of challenges around it. So that's exciting to me, the fact that we could still if that's a sign that we might get – you know, some holiday titles, that would be great news for the movie industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if this keeps track, maybe Bond won't get pushed out till next summer. You know, I guess it really, Tenet's the guinea pig, you know, if Tenet gets out the door and does well internationally, right. I think the rest will follow suit.
Right. Right. I totally agree.
The international scene is really what's going to do all this in.
Right. So. Okay. So in other less positive news, Wilford Brimley kicked it.
He's gone.
He's gone. Not like the fun way, like kicking it old school. I mean, like kicked it like oof. He's out. Now, here's the interesting thing about this.
I don't understand what's happening here. You're presenting a sad story with a headline that sounds positive, told me it's not good news, and then proceeded to start laughing about the story.
No, here's the thing. I want to just put this out there. I know I'm an ass for saying this, but I just need to get it off my chest. I know. Okay, right. Podcast at Penn Cinema for how heartless Penn is. But let me tell you. So everybody's heard of Wilford Brimley, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Diabetes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can even get a mental image of him.
Be that you big mustache. Sort of like.
What?
The big mustache.
Yeah. Big mustache. Yeah. Big guy. Looks like the Quaker Oats guy. Right? Yeah. Kind of. All right. What movie did you ever see him in?
The commercial about diabetes.
Okay. What else?
The other commercial about diabetes.
It's just funny to me. Like, everybody in the world knows Wilford Brimley. Like, he can't walk into a restaurant without people pointing at him and saying that's – but I don't – I had to look up, like, what freaking movies was he in?
I remember seeing TV stuff. Don't you?
Interesting.
No?
No. No, I don't remember – I couldn't name a single movie that he was in. It turns out he was in The Thing.
Okay. Which I would not have known.
Yeah. And he was in The Firm, which I remembered.
Cocoon.
He was in Cocoon. Did you see Cocoon?
Yeah. We used to watch that a lot at my house. My mom liked Cocoon. and the second one.
I've never seen Cocoon.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's good. It's about old people getting young, but.
Wasn't that Curious Case of Benjamin Button?
Yeah. Okay. It's actually a remake, yeah.
All right. Anyway, in more interesting news, Disney has revealed the new Pixar plot. I thought this was an exciting story. I thought this was about as interesting and positive a story as we've had literally, what, in weeks, yeah. 4 or 5 weeks now. So the new plot, I love this movie. It's titled Luca, and it takes place in the Italian Riviera. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's the story about a young boy having the time of his life, hanging out with his new best friend, summering in the Italian Riviera. Of course, it turns out that his friend is hiding a magical alter ego. But what I love about this is, remember Coco?
Yeah.
Four letters, great ethnic, you know, didn't that take place in Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sort of had that, you know, rich heritage to it. And now they're doing it. It seems like they're doing the same thing, except Italian, you know, and great takes place in it. I love that they're getting a little bit more global in, you know, they ventured out of America to Mexico and now they're venturing over to Italy. And I guess they were already in France with Ratatouille.
Well, you also have like Soul is very much like an ethnic film, like an ethnic. Like,
did we ever see Soul?
Hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah. I think that's really good. I want to just back up for 1 second. If I would have come at you yesterday and been like, Wilford Brimley, alive or dead, like any time this year, if I would have said that, would you have said alive?
Yeah.
I thought he died like 10 years ago. I thought the diabetes got him. Anyway, I'm sorry. No, this is really good news. I really like there's a poster for it that looks really cool. Kids like jumping off a cliff into the Mediterranean. I think it sounds great. And being an Italian boy, I can't wait to see more.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know. Hey, Black Widow, this you never read something and your mind fills in the gaps and you're like, I know I read this right, and I'm super pumped. And then you go back and you look at it, and you're like, that wasn't the word that I thought it was going to be. I put this in here. I was like, man, I'm so excited. Black Widow IMAX screening will have 30 minutes of extra footage. Extra footage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No. No, it's 30 minutes of IMAX expanded footage. So... you know, it's the same thing with those tropes, like when Transformers did it, where you don't really see the difference unless you're, you know, super hip. But
yeah, Christopher Nolan, actually, I mean, I know we're not talking about Tenet, but Christopher Nolan, he's a big one for that. When they promoted Inception and The Dark Knight, the whole Dark Knight trilogy, even Interstellar, I think, had the same thing where, you know, they say shot with... you know, however many minutes of IMAX cameras, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that's, you fell for the old bait and switch.
Yeah, I even wrote the note down with extra footage, and I was like, wait, that's not right. All right. Last thing we got here is from you.
Okay.
You said, this is so exciting. 14 exclamation points. Seems that
you think I should have gone with 15?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't quite get across the emotions that you were conveying. Seems that Courtney Cox is returning as the intrepid reporter Gail Weathers. That name should have been Gail Storms. For the upcoming Scream sequel, she will be joining previously cast David Arquette as Sheriff Dewey.
What number Scream is this?
Like 6, maybe?
Scream 5.
5. I was close. Scream 5.
Yeah, pretty good. I was close.
And I've only seen parts of the first one. So, what does that say about me?
I don't know. No, I'm in the exact same boat. I've seen parts of all of them. I don't think I've ever sat and watched. I have not. I've never sat and watched the entire Scream movie.
I know more about the Scream movies from those 90s parody films that came out that were horrible than I do from actually watching the movie.
Right.
So, all right, we got new trailer.
I thought Scream was the parody.
Wow.
All right, we got 4 trailers. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that 3 of them are awful. And one of them has the potential to be beautiful.
3 of them? Now, did you watch them?
I did. Well, I watched 3 of them. The 4th one, I was skimming through my thesaurus to look up other words for awful.
See, I will disagree with you. I think one of these looks fantastic. One looks absolutely horrible. And the other two... one looks really interesting, and the other one appeals to me, but it might just be me.
All right, walk us through them.
Okay, first movie we got here is called Arch Enemy. This looks like, the trailer tells you nothing. However, I really like the filmography, or I don't know, that's the wrong word, the cinematography of the trailer a lot. Like, I'm like, I don't know what this is about, but like every scene seems to be conveying like a different weird emotion, and I'm kind of on board. Like, I don't think this is a wide release type thing, but whatever it is, I want to know more.
Yeah, I agree. I think the key word for this movie is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it looks interesting. I'm not completely sure what's going on, and I'm really not sure where the title comes from, you know, Arch Enemy or whatever, but I'll watch it.
Yeah. What's the next one?
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
If memory serves, the lead character in this movie played It's a Beautiful Life. Or no, Life is Beautiful.
Oh, really?
What's the one where it takes place in the prison camp?
Oh, I remember the movie. I can't think of the title.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful movie.
Yeah.
If you're not crying at the end of it, then there's something wrong with you. And when he got the Oscar, to this day, it stands out in my mind as the best Oscar acceptance speech of all time. When they called his name, he walked up on the back of all the chairs in front of him, like, you know, took one step on the back seat of each row, and people in the seats were like putting their hands out to help him like get to the stage. And of course the guy didn't speak English, and it's just a big beautiful mess, but just a beautiful movie anyway. So now this is a live action Pinocchio.
Yeah.
I thought it looked beautiful. I thought it looked absolutely amazing.
I was expecting, oh, here we go. And then
right.
Just the beginning with Giuseppe talking, I was like, like I like the way this guy is performing even these like lines that you kind of know where it's going. And the whole thing seemed way more magical, way more like fun and adventurous. He looks like a little wooden boy, and he doesn't look, you know, super dumb or anything. I was super surprised. This trailer of the week, hands down.
Absolutely. Best trailer we've seen in a long time. The lead that plays Giuseppe, what's the name? Geppetto. Is Roberto Benigni? How do you say it? Benigni? I think it's Benigni. And the movie that I was trying to think of course, is Life is Beautiful, which came out in 1997.
What's Giuseppe from? What am I thinking of? That's another... Whatever, it doesn't matter. But anyway, Geppetto is what I meant. I think this looks absolutely great. My thing was, I was having trouble figuring out if it's a dubbed movie or...
It's totally unclear whether it's dubbed or whether or not... It's also unclear when and where it's going to be released, because if you look up this movie, it's listed as a 2019 feature.
Okay.
So we may have already missed it.
Really? Okay. See, I heard things about it, but this trailer just dropped, you know, statewide. So
yeah. Happy, happy, joy, joy, the Ren and Stimpy story. At first, I was not willing to watch this trailer, but being the good, devoted, professional podcaster that I am.
Clearly.
I clicked on it, and I was pleased to see that it was a documentary.
Yeah.
And I think that actually caught my interest. The trailer is like whatever. It's not a great trailer. But I think it definitely might be one of those documents. I'll watch it. I'll 100% watch it. And I think, like, sometimes I watch a documentary about, like, any given rock and roll band or a given athlete or something like that. And I did not realize until I watched the documentary how sort of influential and pivotal that person or group or whatever might have been in their related field. And I feel like I want to watch this movie because I feel like that this guy, John, who, you know, wrote Ren and Stimpy and created it and everything like that, I feel like he may be more important and more significant in the history of storytelling and animated shows than I realized. I mean, I never heard of the guy. But that, I think that only just shows my ignorance. So I'm kind of excited to watch this documentary. I think it looks cool.
Yeah. Growing up, I was a huge Ren and Stimpy fan. And I sometimes I struggle to figure out if I was a huge Ren and Stimpy fan or if I kind of liked it and my mom just jumped on, this is something he likes, and just got me the stuff, you know, for it. And then so that just like pushed it along.
Right.
But it was such a gross out movie with like or show, like, I mean, it's a gross out show. Like, it really pushed it for something that was on Nickelodeon, was so vastly different.
Right.
And at the time, borderline inappropriate. Even now, sometimes, like, I've looked at it and, like, how was this something that they showed kids? Like, it's crazy. So I think it definitely changed animation for sure.
Yeah.
But speaking of changed animation, we have probably, I mean, I know you're waiting for the right movie to open up the theater, and this is probably it. It's called The Fairy Princess and the Unicorn. However, when I watched the trailer, it had a different name, but it was like Belly or Bella or something. This movie looks horrible. Like, if you thought that the coronavirus may have slowed down production of like crap filler, horrible animation like movies, you're wrong. Those people are still bored enough to make movies, and this looks bad.
This was the worst trailer I've seen. Maybe, period.
It looked like a Saturday morning cartoon that just was drawn out really, really long.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I thought to myself was, this looks like a TV cartoon. You know, it looks like a TV show and not a really good one.
Yeah. So,
all right. But what we did watch this week that was really good was Interstellar, Christopher Nolan's one of his many masterpiece titles.
One of my faves. I love this movie. One of my favorites. I love it.
Yeah. So walk us through it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, absolutely. This movie is, look, I have some friends that hate this movie, and I don't get it. It's long. I get that. But it just, like, it draws out your emotions, and it really gives you that connection between father and kids. And then on top of that, like, time apart and the whole time dilation thing is just so cool. I love the designs of the ships and like the technology is like advanced, but it's not super like, you know, Deus Ex Machina advanced where like everything is solved. It's like advanced enough. Like even the robots, like they're simple, but they're like more functional than you would think. I just love that like square design and the way that like their artificial intelligence is so brilliant, but like their design is still pretty basic. Like they aren't like super robots or anything like that. They're very practical for in space type things. I really, and the acting I think is great, off the charts. So I love this movie.
I think I do too. And it was the first time I had seen it in years. I watched it at least once, maybe once or twice when it first came out. And then for whatever reason, I've just never happened to have gone back to it. I forgot. I think the key word that I would use for this title is patient. Like, this is a patient movie. It takes its time getting to where it needs to get to. Even like some of the soundtrack is very kind of like plodding and slow, and but not in a boring way, not in a like, you don't lose it keeps your attention.
Yeah,
you know, like it's a rare example of what I would consider a slow movie that still keeps your attention.
Yeah I really like the way that when we see these characters grow over time, but like the difference between the children and the father. So you've got like the daughter who very much just like adores her father and like loves him or whatever. And they got the son who is basically forced to be just like his dad.
Right.
And as a result is the one that loses the most connection from his father. Like, you know, he's forced to be a farmer and eventually he just is like, that's what I am. Dad's gone. I don't care. Dad's in the science world or whatever. While the girl takes the science path.
And, right. Like,
never gives up on like trying to solve the world problems and stuff. It's just very, very, very interesting.
That scene when she records the message on her birthday, turning the year turning his age from when he left.
Yeah.
And she says, "You once told me that when you get back, we might be the same age. Well, now is the time." Like, you like, and she's crying and I'm crying, and it's, you know, yeah. It's a powerful scene, I think.
Yeah.
And I also forgot from the original times that I saw it, I forgot how it ends in terms of, like, the daughter who's now elderly and essentially on her deathbed, not only making peace with the dad, but making peace with him and assuring him that she now has her family and her kids and that he should go do, you know. So it's almost like it took him her entire lifetime to achieve the ability to go seek out the questions and answers that he needs to go seek. He's an adventurer. He's a seeker. I would use the word seeker. He's a seeker who needs to go do that. And at the end of the movie, she gives him the permission on all the different cosmic, you know, spiritual yeah. levels. But then the other thing that I love about this movie that's just fun, you touched on, is the whole dynamic of, like, time as a dimension. And I also really enjoyed the concept of love as a dimension. And yeah, I just saw all those sort of mind bending. There was one point where I did pause the movie because I had to, like, think, like, how would that work? You know, and I really did, like, I had to process what Nolan was, you know, what he created in this storyline, which I thought was really cool. And I sort of, I mean, you know, we've talked about, I've teased you on the show a million times about time travel and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I just, yeah. I love that kind of stuff. And it's so mind bending. I think it's really cool.
Like, when they come back from that planet and the other guys, like, how long was it? 17 years or something like that? And he's yeah. just been up there waiting for them.
Right.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
And for them, it was like a couple hours, a few yeah. hours.
I heard after rewatching it, and I didn't go back to check, that when they're going to land on that planet, if you look closely, you can see the first people just landing. Like ahead, oh. like ahead of them. I didn't go back to look. Someone told me that when talking to them about it this week. And I was like, oh, that'd be really because of the time dilation.
Right, because – and they she said we just missed her by minutes.
Right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so wild. Well, anyway, this movie got me super excited for Tenet, which opens on September 3rd apparently.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure how that's going to happen, but – one way or another, I'm watching Tenet. I can't wait.
I'm pumped. I'm super yeah. pumped. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. Go ahead.
Listeners, news, notes, questions, answers, riddles, and gotchas.
Whoa.
We got Encyclopedia Brown writing us in saying that movie about Sandra Bullock was the lady you're thinking of that's not Sandra Bullock is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and the movie that I was thinking of was called Deep Waters, I believe, was the with the couple stuck out in the ocean.
Wow.
Yeah.
What that's awesome.
Encyclopedia Brown.
E.B.
E.B. coming at us. Yeah.
E.B. is watching some ridiculous number of movies. He's why write us in and tell us how many movies you've watched, because I think it's like 270. What? The guy's been on hardcore quarantine and he's just consuming a lot of movies, old ones, new ones. Matter of fact, he recommended a good one, a TV show that I thought looked interesting, and I was kind of wondering about it. And then he wrote a Facebook post that I thought was really interesting. The show is called Love on the Spectrum.
Okay.
And it's a show about people with autism and how, what their relationships are like, you know, and what's it like for them when they fall in love. And I've not seen the show, but Jason was saying how it's really not only an interesting show and, you know, but you learn a lot about living with autism. And I think that it's really cool that Netflix has a show like that to bring some attention in a positive sort of, you know, they're not condescending to anybody or anything like that, just saying, hey, here's some people, you know, who live a certain way and go through life a certain way, and this is what it's like for them in the dating world, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to have to watch the show. I found it, I thought it was a really interesting premise, and I was interested. Jason made the comment that he had learned a lot about autism in watching the show.
Wow.
You know, not that it's a documentary or trying to be teachy or anything like that, but just that by watching the show, you know, it sort of opens your eyes to a lot of things. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was really cool that he watched it, and I thought it was extra cool that he sort of had that awareness to say, hey, I learned a lot about something.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty cool.
For sure.
But other than that, a quiet night in the mailroom.
Right. Right. Now, for all you people out there that are saying, oh, I was going to write in, or, you know, oh, I've been meaning to tell you about this, don't hold back, man. Penn and I are here for you to listen to what you have to say about us being horrible and what we do.
I'm literally sit in front of my email waiting to get a note. Right.
Yeah. That's
here I sit, brokenhearted. Paid a dime.
Yeah. Sometimes we write poems about it. I mean, maybe we'll read them someday, but you never know. But all right, so let's move on to what are you watching? What are you doing? What's going on with you this week? Do you realize this is episode 80, which is episode 20 of the Rona Renegades, aka you and me, which means it's been 20 weeks since I've seen you.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
You're like, oh, can we double it?
That actually, that is stunning.
That's
that you
crazy.
Would say that.
Yeah. I mean, we went over a year seeing each other at least once a week, you know, for the podcast.
Yeah, at a minimum.
At a minimum, usually more.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's a sad world, Pat. All right, so what you been up to?
Nothing. I mean, I have not watched anything almost literally. Like, I had to make an effort to carve out time for Interstellar. Whoa. And I feel like I did. I feel like I did watch some other movie that caught my attention. But, like, the girls and I have been watching, like, Family Feud late at night with Steve Harvey. Been watching King of Queens, you know. But just those sitcoms that sort of on as you're winding down. And
yeah.
A lot of shows that I'm falling asleep while I'm watching them. And the reason is because it's been a really exciting week.
Whoa.
At the Ketchum House.
Whoa.
I think we all know that Kayla is a graduating senior. Or now, I think now that we've had the graduation party, we can say she was a graduating senior. Now she's a freshman at Millersville. So, but this weekend, her high school had the prom Friday night at Clipper Magazine Stadium.
Whoa.
And it was really cool. They did a really nice job. I was there chaperoning.
Clearly.
I was in charge of the macaroni. I was in charge of macaroni and cheese. as you would assume.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, naturally.
What's Ben doing here? Macaroni and cheese stuff.
It's got to be mac and cheese. I picture everybody in a room with, like, notebooks. And I mean, these kids had this event planned from top to bottom. The minute you got out of your car, there was information about the masks that you should be wearing and, you know, social distancing. And to their credit, every single kid in the place was wearing a mask almost the whole time, with very few exceptions other than when they were, like, eating, or you could tell it was, like, you know, a small group of close friends. And it was just a really impressive display. But I picture them, like, in a planning meeting, trying to plan out this prom, being like, all right, we have everything worked out. We got it all figured, except who's going to man the mac and cheese?
Then somebody came in. I got a guy.
I know a guy.
Let me. They have a special phone. It's shaped like a macaroni. Well,
it turned out really great because some other parents got the actual macaroni and cheese donated. Mick's All American Pub. Love Mick Owens. He does a great job over there. And he was kind, generous enough to donate a bunch of macaroni and cheese, which, of course, everybody knows Mix makes the best mac and cheese. If you haven't had Mix mac and cheese,
oh,
go do yourself a favor and get some. So anyway, but we had tons of it because a bunch of parents also brought their own trays of mac and cheese. So these moms are telling me, so there's another dad, like, over there in charge of something else, and another guy over there in charge of something else, and I'm in charge of the mac and cheese. I got my mask on, I got my gloves, I'm the only one touching the utensils so that it's, you know, nice and safe. And the moms are telling me, you got to make sure you only give them little scoops because we don't want to run out. You know, 180 kids. You don't want to run out of mac and cheese.
Right.
So the first kid comes through, and I give her a scoop of mac and cheese, and I look at her, and she looks at me, and I'm like, you want a little more? and she's like, yeah, I do. I was like, all right, well, so I gave her a little. Well, anyway, these kids, I mean, I don't know when the last time you fed a bunch of teenagers is, but they eat. I mean, they can put it away.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'm scooping massive amounts of mac and cheese onto these kids' plates. And at the end of the night, we still had like 4 or 5 trays of mac and cheese left over.
Oh, my word.
It was a riot. But anyway, so we had the prom Friday night, and then Saturday at our house we had a graduation party for Kayla. So, and anybody who you know has a family party like that at our house knows that we spent all week cleaning, prepping, getting ready. You know, it's a lot of work. So we were pretty busy. And but anyway, so yeah, so I had a great week. Really enjoyed time with the family. Drew was generous enough to cover the drive-in shifts that I was supposed to be working so that I could be the macaroni and cheese chaperone and attend Kayla's grad party. So shout out to Drew for that coverage. But yeah, I had an awesome week, but I didn't hardly watch anything.
Wow. Well, I had a pretty busy week as well. The beginning half was super congested, but I still got some stuff in. I watched the movie Attack the Block. Have you ever seen this movie?
No.
Starring John Boyega and Jodie Whittaker, or Whitmer, whatever, the new doctor. Well, let me tell you, don't.
Okay.
My boy Orlando came at me with this movie for years, and he's like, you got to watch it. It's so good, blah, blah, blah. I think you remember how I recently, Simba's sister and I took in Goonies.
Right.
And I was not a fan.
Right.
And he's like, it's like Goonies, but modern times with aliens. And I'm like, you're not really selling it to me. But he's like, you got to watch it. So he's home visiting. He lent it to me. He's like, watch it this week, promise me. So I watched it. And even on the box, it says Goonies for the modern times or some sort of
BS or something. Let me just pause right there.
Yeah.
You already told me that you didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
But if you had come at me and been like, hey, Penn, there's this movie and it's like Goonies, but modern times with aliens, I would have been like, all right, sounds good.
Right? I think most people who like Goonies would be on board with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's an interesting, like, all right, cool.
But I did not like this movie at all. it has the same problem as Goonies, where the kids just like are constantly yelling the whole time. And the worst is that they have a very thick, I forget what area of England it is, but a very, very thick British accent that's hard to follow for me as an English person, or an American, I should say. But the aliens were really cool designed. I liked that part.
Okay.
We're supposed to believe that John Boyega's 15.
No.
I mean, come on. They're even like, wow, you look old for your age. He's like, thanks. And I'm like,
I love when you say we're supposed to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, those rotten bastards that made this movie trying to get me to believe.
They tried to pull this over me.
Right.
I just did not. I mean, it's not the worst movie in the world or whatever. It's got some really good gore scenes, like where the aliens like get people. But nah, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
But something that I did watch, and I don't think it's completed, but there's 2 episodes of it out, is Jim Gaffigan's The Pale Tourist Tour. And this was supposed to come to our area. I was going to try and go see it in Hershey. But I guess he's doing a tour, and each stop is crafted with a set that revolves around the area that he's in, as opposed to having like one set that he does in like several cities. So the first one's in Canada, and so the whole set is like jokes about Canada and Canadians. And then,
I love that.
Yeah, and then the second one was in, I think, Barcelona. And so it was all Spanish. And
where was the second one?
Barcelona.
Huh.
No, that's in Spain, right? Yeah.
I thought you said Barcelona.
Barcelona? I think I did.
I thought you were switching over to a little Spanish there.
Well, I don't know if you know I speak Spanish fluently.
Stop it.
No, I don't. So, that's actually, I thought that was pretty good. I hope they put out more episodes. I don't know if it's stopped or anything because of Corona, but, that was good. And I started listening to, off of Audible, The Sandman, the Neil Gaiman story. And it's not just an audiobook. It's like an acted audiobook. So like James McAvoy and a bunch of other people do like the actual voices of the characters.
That's
there's
cool.
One guy that reads the narration. So,
yeah.
So that was my week. So, yeah. So what are we doing next week? Because I think you might have an idea, but I think I might also have an idea.
Hit me.
Deep Blue Sea 3 came out.
Stop it.
Yeah.
We're there. That's it. That's, sold.
Yeah. We got to do it.
Because didn't we watch Deep Blue Sea 2 in anticipation of Deep Blue Sea 3?
Yeah, we watched 1 and 2 in 1 week just to like...
All right. And I'm going to specifically... I know he's listening. And I know he's great. He writes us in all the time, sometimes multiple times a week. I specifically want Encyclopedia Brown, Jason, Goonies to also watch his movie and send me an email. Send us an email. podcast@penncinema.com. I'm going to post this on our Facebook page so that we can get as many people listeners as possible share. I hope it's awful. Do you think it's going to be awful?
I think it's going to be delightfully horrible. I saw another trailer for it. They were like saying that it was out and I was like, this looks so bad. I can't wait to see it. So awesome. So
just real quick, just an interesting side note.
Yeah.
Do you remember we talked about that movie, She Dies Tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's a new horror movie that came out on July 31st at drive-ins and streaming.
Okay.
Right? So they skipped like indoor theaters.
Uh-huh.
But I played it at the drive-in because I thought it was – I just wanted to sort of see what would happen if we played a new movie.
Yeah.
And we had a huge audience.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't sell out. You know, it didn't do the business at Goonies or Jaws or whatever. But we had a big audience, and Drew and I were both really surprised, pleasantly surprised, at how well it did. And the feedback from the customers was generally pretty positive.
Wow.
So I'm going to tune in and watch that movie.
Are you gonna show it again at the drive-in or no?
Not by the time you hear this episode.
Sounds good. Cool.
We're going to watch it again last night, tomorrow.
Oh, last night, tomorrow, next week?
Right.
Sweet. All right. Well, that's awesome. I'm going to have to check that out too because that looked really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I don't like horror, that the idea of it. So cool. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Look, if you want to get in touch with us, the best way to do it, podcast@penncinema.com. Just go ahead, shoot us an email about whatever you want to know about. Doesn't matter. We got all the answers, and most of them are wrong. So,
or maybe you have all the answers. Send us an answer, and we'll ask you the question. That would be a fun game. Send us an answer, and I'll ask the question.
Jeopardy style, yeah. Yeah. And, of course, the best way you can help the show, tell a friend. Just get on your phone right now. Like, load up a bunch of people in one of those group texts that everyone hates and just be like, hey, you guys know about the Penn Cinema podcast? Hit send and then just walk away and watch.
I think people are doing that, right? Because didn't you send me a report that our listenership is continuing to rise?
Yeah. So
that's wild.
It's awesome.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Do I need to apologize? Should I post like a company apology on the Penn Cinema page?
We are sorry for the views and opinions expressed within the Penn Cinema podcast.
Sorry that Penn mistaked Sandra Bullock for Ryan Reynolds.
It's an easy one, but... All right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Ben Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome. Good.